lectures and will benefit from his spirituality.
We're just going to show a little short video to prepare us for the lecture from Amangelos, and then we'll get started. Okay, so I'd just like to introduce Amangelos here. He's going to speak to us about being too busy for God. So if we could get a round of applause for Amangelos.
Can I have two strong guys up here, please? Yeah, I'm looking at you. can we just move this down there somewhere? I feel too far away from you. That's better. It's too isolating up there, I think. Have I ruined any plans by standing here? Just checking with the management, that's all. When you do enough of these conventions, you know people get really stressed about the spite of things. So you don't know when you've ruined someone's plan, they've got a hidden camera somewhere or recording something at some stage. Like this. While I'm setting up, I just want to thank you for your welcome. I want to thank Sayyidina for his very kind words. And it is always a blessing to come here and attend this convention. I'm happy and sad this year. Sad because it's obviously been split, so I can't see everyone at once. And seeing I can only make one of these conventions, I only see you guys and I don't see the graduates. But I'm happy because I think this is a much better way to learn. It's much more concise, it's much more focused. The number is much more manageable. And I think we probably have more time to meet. It's pretty overwhelming. Last year, I think there were about 600 people, and so you have no idea where everyone is, and you see lots of faces, but that's about it. So nevertheless, it is a blessing to be here with you. And these conventions, I think throughout the whole year, this is probably one of the most seriously organized conventions that I attend. A lot of thought goes into it. People want to get something out of it, and they know what they want to get. And I think a great amount of gratitude should go to those who prepare these conventions under the guidance of His Grace and allow us all to come together in a presence of God. And I must tell you that you have to be, you must be incredibly thankful for the blessing that you have, because Sayyidina was with us earlier, well, not earlier this year, last year, because you know you spend the first 2 months of this year signing 2004. So last year Sayyidina was with us. We had our first mission conference in the UK, and the input that Sayyidina gave, I think, blew everybody away. And now they want Sayyidina there all the time, which is, well, I'm going to do a bit of a trade this time, I think, which is I'll going to have to try to fix an appointment with His Grace for this convention as well. So it's a great blessing you have with you having Sayyidina here. I know that having one of the biggest dioceses in the Coptic Orthodox Church, and I think from memory it spreads through four time zones, means that you don't probably see Sayyidina as often as you would like. But don't make a fuss about the guest speaker and forget the real star of the show, under whose guidance and under whose love all of this is done. And I think he deserves a huge round of applause before we start. If I could, I'd just ask Sayyidina to say a small prayer before we start, so we could stand up, please.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Our dear Lord, from the depth of our hearts, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in a Christian fellowship in order to grow together in your love and in your knowledge. We thank you for the safe arrival of all of us, and we ask you to open our hearts and to open our minds in order to receive your holy words, the words of the Holy Spirit, so that we'll be edified and we'll be growing and we can conquer all the challenges that face us in our life. We thank you for the presence of Bishop Angelis with us. We ask you to reward him with all the heavenly rewards for all his labors and effort. Hear us when we pray through the intercession of Saint Mary, the Mother of God, and all the saints. Hear us when we pray thankfully, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Christ Jesus our Lord, for thy the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We hope that over these few days, few but very valuable days, we can share together in something that is very rich, something that is essential to our lives, and that is our continued presence with God and His continued presence with and in us. Now, we all know this wonderful short presentation that was done, depicts our God as a loving God who visits us with his tender mercies, visits us with his love, gave all for us, and never had a priority over our well-being. All he ever wanted was us, and all he wants until today is us. And if we were looking at human relationships, and we looked at the analogy of the relationship between the divine bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ God, with his earthly bride, us, we would find a very imbalanced relationship. And if we compare that on a personal, human basis, we would find that, well, really, the bridegroom is not getting anything out of this. He's giving, he's sacrificing, even unto death. And he receives nothing. Why? Because we give very little, if at all. And sometimes we give nothing. God doesn't ask very much of us. He only wants the smallest portion of our lives. We're told in the scriptures that we should give our tithes, 10%. And that isn't just expected of our money, but of ourselves, of our love, of our concentration, of our focus, of everything we have and of everything we are. But do we even give that? Do we even, because of our love for him, set aside things for that small portion of time, that small portion of attention? We end up focusing on many things. Now, our mind is spread in so many directions. We all have a lot on our minds. And the way the world is set today is completely overwhelming. Between your studies, some of you who work, your families, your friends, your social life, your church life, your community life, all of these things, we find that we are spread in so many directions that we really have trouble focusing on anything, if anything, at all. And as with anything in our lives, it's all a matter of priority. So that you will always jettison, you will always do away with the least important, or maybe the least noticeable part of life. So the first thing that goes when we do an assessment of our time or our concentration or our focus or our commitment, unfortunately, suddenly becomes God. Maybe not because we don't love him, because I'm sure that you're all here for this purpose. Deep down in the hearts, we do love him. It may not be absolutely visible. It may not be always apparent in our lives. But there is a special place and love for God there. But maybe it is so well hidden, under so much, screened by so many different things, that the first thing that we do away with is our relationship with God. When we ask any of you what the most important and valued things in your lives may be, we'd get many, many different answers. Your health, your families, your careers, your church. If you have hobbies, people, friends, lots of things. There is one thing, however, that is of extreme value, but one thing that we do not look after very much, and that is time. Time is probably the most valued element we have in our lives, because it is time that allows for everything to happen. Time allows for us to look after our relationship with God, with family, with friends. Time allows us to study. Time allows us to work efficiently. Time allows us to do many things. But unfortunately, it is the one thing that we quite often mismanage to the extent that we don't do all of these things. Now, when we talk about our life with God, and is there anything that takes us away from God? Obviously, the answer is going to be yes. There are things that take us away from God. There are things that distract us so much that we lose focus completely, and we have nothing in mind when it comes to these things. They completely drop out. There are some things that completely overtake our lives. And we'll start, I've got a few of them here we want to cover, and we'll start with the most obvious. Obviously, being a Christian conference, with a clergyman speaking, we're going to talk about vices, right? Bad things that take up your time, evil things that you shouldn't be doing. So let's start with those because you expect them. So, as an example, what takes up our time? What takes up our time sometimes is the world. We become like children with flickering lights around us, so overwhelmed and attracted to these lights that we are completely subjected to them and we are drawn towards them, looking at nothing around us. Those lights can be many things. And one of the greatest examples of blindness that came due to the focus on these flickering lights was that of the prodigal son. In the midst of the glory of his father's home, in the midst of the safety, the wealth, the abundance of everything he had, he couldn't see any of that because his eyes were set elsewhere. His attention was focused elsewhere. He could see the prodigal living. He could see his friends. He could see the freedom. He could see the world. He could see the new experiences. And because he saw these, even at a distance, he got a condition which we all get at times, which is tunnel vision, extreme tunnel vision, where we see nothing around us except that one light at the end of the tunnel. Now, unfortunately, in this case, that light was deceptive because that light was actually darkness. And that light that he, like that poor, defenseless bug that flies unknowingly mesmerized towards one of those zappers and suddenly gets hit before it knows what happened, he did exactly the same thing. And we do the same thing. He looked at this light. He saw it from a distance. He didn't understand what it was, but it was attractive. And so it distanced him from everything around him. And while we think, bad, bad boy, how could he possibly have done that? What a silly thing to do. How many of us do the same thing? As students, as young people in this world, how many of us here can actually stand up and say, no, that's never happened to me. I'm completely focused all the time on the right things. The world never attracts me. Those flickering lights never completely cover up everything else I should be doing. And he was lost. And it took him away from his father. And likewise, our prodigal living, or at least our desire for prodigal living, takes us away from our father. Sometimes we're in our father's house. We know we're in the presence of God. Yet we are so focused on those deceptive flickering lights at a distance that we are oblivious to everything else around us and we see nothing. And we are taken away, even if in the midst of everything, we are taken away and isolated. Initially by the desire, then by approaching, and then finally, as happened to that young man in that story, by following and by falling. So one of the first things that takes us away from God is just the world, the vain world, those flickering lights that mean nothing, but they happen to catch our attention. Catch our attention because we're not focused enough on other things. What comes after that? Well, persecution, hardship, difficulty. And we have two examples of this. The first is that of the Jewish nation, the people of God, those whom he had chosen to be his children. And suddenly, obviously because of their own downfall and because of their own lack of concentration and their own lack of obedience, they became lost. And in becoming lost, they became persecuted. And in becoming persecuted, they became so preoccupied with the coming of a savior, a king who would completely take them away. They were focused on the Romans, focused on the Roman Empire, focused on the difficulty around them, focused on the oppression, on the persecution, focused on all of these things, waiting for a savior, so focused on that, that when the savior came, they didn't see him. They were looking in a completely different direction. They were so wanting to solve their worldly persecution, they were so desiring to overcome their worldly oppressors and live in worldly comfort with a worldly kingdom, that they were looking for a worldly king and a worldly savior and a worldly champion. And they missed the divine. They missed the holy. They missed God incarnate. They missed the Savior. And in our lives, we have hardships all the time. We all have hardships. Everyone goes through difficulties. And we become so bogged down in them, so upset by them. And we're looking for solutions. We're looking for solutions near and far. We're looking for solutions in every direction, wanting something to pull us out of all of this, looking for an answer. And the answer is there, staring us right in the face. And like that nation, we also miss the Savior, who is there in our lives, saying, come to me, I'm here. Seek and you will find me. Knock and it will be opened. Ask and it will be given. I'm here for you. I am the God of the oppressed. I am the Lord of those who struggle. Don't go looking anywhere else, because you're not going to find solutions. But we always want to take things into our own hands. We always want to find our own solutions to things. We always want to solve things ourselves. And while that is wonderful and indicative of a great generation and a great era in which we live, where everyone has individual power to do all things and no one can stop anyone from doing anything, it doesn't work. Why? Because some things are beyond our ability. Some things are beyond our power. Some things are beyond our control. We cannot do all things. And so we can stand there and bang our heads against a wall for as long as we want, and nothing will be sorted. Because there is nothing we can do. While all the time our Lord stands and taps on our shoulder and says, my beloved, I am here. Tell me what you want. Take my hand and I'll guide you. Listen to me. Follow my words. I will give you all things that you desire. Ask, seek, knock. It's all there. Don't be so blinded by your own downfall that you don't see the glory that I stand here in, trying to attract your attention. And so hardship and difficulty and oppression and failure takes us away from him. Although that is what he is there for. He being our Father, he being our Savior who loved us so much that he loved us unto death, and who is able to give us all things. You know the expression that you don't see the wood from the trees? You ever heard that expression? Imagine it. That you have a huge forest around you, but if you are in the middle of that forest, and you look around you, all you can see is what? 5, 10, 15, 20 trees around you, because that is all your vision will bring up. And so all you see is the trees, but you don't see the huge woods around you. You don't see the wider picture. God wants us to see the wider picture. He doesn't want us to focus on just that which surrounds us. Because that which surrounds us is so limited. So limited. And it can be overcome so easily with one single word of his. One word and one word alone. You remember the one of my favorite occurrences in the Bible is the storm. When the disciples were in the boat and the storm suddenly started and our Lord was sleeping in the back of the boat, and they all clambered and they all ran and they all panicked. And they went and said, "Lord, Lord, wake up. Do you want us to die? Do something." And God, being God, is pretty cool, right? He's just completely in control. What's ever going to panic the Lord? No, he knows all things. But we panic because we don't know. So he turned up and just looked at them and said, "What's wrong? Is there a problem?" As if he didn't realize, with the boat going up and down and, you know, disciples running all over the place, screaming and thinking it was the end, that we're dying, winds and... "Is there a problem? What's wrong?" He said, "Lord, look around us." He said, "What? Is this what's upsetting you? Is this what's bothering you?" And the Lord stood up and he raised his hands and he said, "Peace. Be still." And the elements submitted. And the seas withdrew and the winds ceased. That's all it took. They could have run around for as long as they wanted. All that would have happened is they would have gotten more and more and more anxious and possibly fallen into the sea. It took three words. Peace, be still. That was all of it. So we have to get a focus on things. We have to know our own limitations. And the words of St. Paul in his epistle to the Galatians, chapter 8, verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Definitely not. Why? Because as Christians, it is at these times that we go running to our Father and hide behind him and say, "Please look after this. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm alone. I can go out there and try to do my own thing. But I want you, please, to help me. Make it stop. Make it go away. Take control of my life and save me from my depression, distress, anxiety, all the things that we suffer from. Another obvious thing that distances us from God. The parable of the wedding feast. Whether in our lives, and you know, we all have real lives to live. We all have things to do. We all have social things that occupy us. We all have careers, we all have families, we all have work, we all have investments, we all have plans, we all want to get married and have children and have families, or we all want to do different things, or we all want to travel. There are things that occupy us all, and they're very valid things. Our Lord tells us to be faithful as stewards and be faithful in the talents that He gives us and productive with those talents. He tells us to do those things. And He tells us that we need to be positive, proactive, faithful members in His body and stewards of His. So no one is asking us to procrastinate and sit back and do nothing. But at the same time, it is one thing to want to follow the will of God and be constructive and productive. Another thing to be completely taken over by the world and by the social pressures and by those things around us and completely forget about God. We were invited to the wedding feast. I'm sorry, I cannot come. Did you guys used to sing that song at Sunday school? Yeah, we banned it from our Sunday school. You know why, don't you? Yes? Because the boys used to switch the words around? Yeah, did that happen in your churches too? Yes. Now the word is, I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. And I've got to get this right, otherwise I'm in trouble. I have married me a wife. I have bought me a cow. Okay? Now the boys used to switch those around, and so we banned the song, really. Yeah. So, and it was always their favorite. They always say, "Can we do that?" "No, you can't." No, that. To the extent that we actually crossed it out of the songbook by the end of the year, because they just used to do us to be obstructive. So, whether you are marrying a wife or buying a cow. And I've really, you're kidding, you know, I've really got to concentrate when I say that, because I remember this in my head all the time, and I've got to be careful when I get in trouble. So whether you are marrying a wife that was close or buying a cow, or buying land, or occupied with the world, or have your own work, or have your own business, or have your own studies, or have your own career, all of these things can take up all of your time. But then what? Okay, you'll have the nice house, and the nice car, and nice investment, and nice wife, and nice cow. I don't know who has a cow these days, but it just flows. But you'll have all of those things. But then what? Then what? Am I willing to take all of these things and trade them for one thing that I had, but I'm willing to do away with? The words of our Lord to the scribes and the Pharisees come to mind, where He said, "You ought to have done one without leaving the other undone." We sometimes focus so much on our social requirements and obligations, and we forget that there is so much more. This is an invitation to the feast, and yet those invited, who are representative of us, are so busy with their worldly lives and their worldly obligations that they just don't have time. They're not out on street corners or at bars or in nightclubs. They're not out wasting their time. They're doing something which in their own minds is constructive. And this is what happens to all of us. I'm out getting a degree. I'm doing postgraduate. I'm getting a job. I'm moving up in the world. I'm buying, I'm investing, I'm repaying. And they all look very credible. And they all look very, very important at the time. But where is the rest of it? This only serves the human side of me. The mortal side of me. What about the spiritual side? Who looks after those? What about building my spiritual home? What about investing in my spiritual property? What about looking after my spiritual health? Who looks after those? If I don't, who's going to look after them? And so I focus on one side of my life and completely leave another. We go back to the disciples. And we remember a particular day that's mentioned in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Where our Lord met the disciples, jumped into their boat, went out and told them to launch out a little, and said and spoke to the multitudes who gathered. And then, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." Now, how many of us fit into that little part of the story? How many of us toil all night and catch nothing? How many of us toil for nights and days on end and catch nothing? And we're so busy toiling and catching, trying to catch and working, that we forget. You forget. But our Lord, in His wisdom, didn't choose people randomly. He chose Simon from amongst all the fishermen because He knew. At His first encounter with Simon, Simon said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." He's saying this to a man he'd never met before. "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." He realized there was something different. And that something different was that on that day, it wasn't just him in the boat. It wasn't just the other fishermen in the boat. There was something different about that day. There was something different about that particular situation, that time. You know how rash Simon was. You know, this complete stranger comes up, jumps in his boat. He's been tired all night. He's washing his nets, ready to go home and sleep. Suddenly a stranger jumps into his boat and says, "Launch out a bit." "Yeah, come on, I'm finished. I want to go home." And you know, as rash as Simon was, he could have just, you know, "Excuse me, could you, there's a boat down there. Or just go speak from the shore, but I really don't have time for this." But he didn't do that. And he went out. And then he said, "Well, launch out into the deep." And again, rash Simon could have turned around and said, "Are you going to teach me how to do my business? I'm the fisherman here. Thank you very much. You said nice words to the people. That was very inspiring. I'm sure they all enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Now I want to go home and go to sleep. Don't teach me how to fish. I've been fishing all night, caught nothing." But he didn't do that. He felt there was something different. And our Lord knew that he would sense it. He said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I shall let down my nets." And he did. And although he had toiled all night and caught nothing, in those moments, he had caught enough for himself and his partners and the other boat so that both boats were sinking. We can spend our whole lives ignoring the presence of God and being distant from Him. And the world can take us away from Him. But it's a losing battle. Because that which takes us away is that which we will never achieve without Him. Did you get that? The things that take us away, the things that we leave Him for, we are never going to achieve without Him. Because we don't have that blessing in our lives. We don't have that presence in our boat. So, we've covered the prodigal living, the things that really sort of take us away from God because they're sinful and evil. And that we know. And then the matters of persecution and hardship and obligation, and that we know. And then we've looked now at social requirements and commitments and careers and work and families, and that we know. Now, the next one I like. Because the next one is the least obvious of all of these. In the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42, we read, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Him and said, 'Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things.'" But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Even in our own quote-unquote spiritual lives, we are sometimes taken away from God. Why? Because we spend so much time in practice that we never engage in a relationship with God. Then we wonder why it's fruitless. You'll say to Abuna, "Abuna, I stand and pray for hours. I just can't get anything out of it. I read my Bible for hours. I can't get anything out of it. I attend liturgies for hours and don't feel anything. I attend meetings. I do all of these things. And I go through the motions." But are we going through the motions just as motions? Or are we sitting at the feet of Christ wanting to learn? We can be in the same room with someone and yet be distant. I know that sometimes there'll be a big gathering, a big youth gathering, and I'll spot someone in the other corner of the room, and I'll want to talk to this person because there's something up, or I want to catch up with them, or I know they have an issue or they have a problem, and I remember this and I want to catch up. I can see them from a distance. But there's so much going on around me that I get maybe distracted. Maybe I can't even physically make it to the other corner of the room because so much is there in the way. In our spiritual lives, in our service in our churches, in our own personal spiritual life, sometimes the motions themselves take us away from God if we're not carried out properly. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you not to pray and not to fast and not to read your Bible and not to attend liturgies. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you that what we need to focus on is the end to which those means are guiding us, not just the means in themselves. Because the means in themselves, well, with time, feel pointless. You know, I want to read my Bible. I love to read my Bible. But if I don't engage with God in the Bible, I'm not going to get anything out of it. It's going to be a book. I want to stand and pray. I love to pray. But if I don't engage and I don't feel and I don't communicate with God, then I'm not going to feel like doing it because I'm not getting anything out of it. And so on and so forth. Martha knew that the Lord was there, and she was running around. And you know, you could imagine your mother's in that situation, couldn't you? You know, you have a guest in the house, and your mother's out, and she's tidying up, and she's doing this, and cooking this, and making this. This is why when I go to visits now, I make a point of saying, you know, I'm not eating. Why? Because I'll go. And they will spend so much time fussing around and doing things and making things that the whole time is spent in this constant running, and I never get to spend time with people. Yes, it's wonderful. Yes, it's very gracious. Yes, it's hospitable. Yes, it's full of love. But that's not what I'm there for. I'm there to visit them, and I'm there to sit with them. And we can fuss around God and fuss around the church and serve and run around. If we don't have our own spiritual life and our own spiritual focus, then again, we're like Martha. Martha, who went around and did all of these things, yet she was too busy for God. She was too busy for the Lord. She didn't spend time with Him. Yes, she was serving, and she was serving faithfully. There's one distinction that I heard, and it stuck in my mind. And that is that we spend sometimes so much time serving the house of the Lord that we do not serve the Lord of the house. And this is what Martha was doing. She was there around the Lord, but Mary was at His feet, learning, experiencing. And what we need to achieve is something in the middle. Where we are giving, we are faithful, where we are fulfilling our duties and obligations as Christians, and yes, service is extremely important because it is essential. It is what our church is built on. We all serve in different ways. Whether it's myself or Sayyidina or the fathers or you, we're all servants. We all serve in different ways. We all have our services. But what would that mean if I only served and never really spent time with God, never really engaged in my relationship with God? So even those things, although not very obvious, but those things can most definitely take me away from God and make me too busy for Him. And sometimes while the most obvious are easy to see and spot, points like this one are slightly less obvious. And we can spend years doing them and never realize we're doing anything wrong. We can spend years running around like Martha, but never be like Mary. And we need to find a mixture of both. As the disciples did, where they served and they went at the instruction of our Lord, but then they retired with Him, and He spoke to them individually, and they learned from Him individually, and they engaged with Him individually. So there are many things in this life that can make us too busy for God. What we find is when God comes into our lives and we engage and we experience, that we can leave everything. And I'll give you two quick examples. The first is the fisherman. When our Lord, after that event, promised them that He would make them fishers of men, and the words of Scripture inspiring, and they left all and followed Him. The second is something which is slightly less obvious, and that is the Samaritan woman. And I think one time I confused my congregation endlessly, because it was Sunday of the Samaritan woman, and They came obviously expecting a sermon about the Samaritan woman, or the people, or our Lord, or the disciples, or the fields that were white with harvest, all of those things. So I gave them a sermon on the pot. Does anyone know where the pot fits into the story? Do you remember anything about the pot? The Samaritan woman had come to the watering hole to take water. And when she met our Lord, and they had their exchange, and she suddenly realized who he was, and she ran, we read in the scriptures that she left her water pot behind. And she ran to tell all that she had met the Messiah. Even that which she went for initially suddenly became irrelevant. She was there in the scorching heat going to get water. And because of that exchange, because of that engagement, because of that experience, that meeting, suddenly it didn't matter. She left the pot, left the water, left everything, and ran and said to the people, "Listen, I met a man who told me all things I had ever done. Come and meet him." And she became an evangelist. She became a witness. So once we engage, although we are very distant at times, although someone like the Samaritan woman had no concept, had no real life with God, she was living a sinful life. Once she experienced and made that initial contact, she left all. We can be distracted by many things. We can be made too busy by many things. Some constructive, some destructive. Some justifiable, some a complete waste of time. But at the end of the day, what is essential in our lives as Christians is our relationship with God. If anything we do becomes an obstacle to that relationship, then we need to look into it more. Anything. I've had times where I've seen people who are serving, and I think sometimes their service becomes an obstacle to the relationship with God. Because they get so busy serving and they forget things. I say, listen, I don't want you to leave service because it's important to you, it builds you up, and it's important for you using talents God has given you. But just give it a break for a while, reestablish that relationship, and then start again. Or scale it down a little bit. Or be careful. Or focus. These are all important things. We can be made too busy for God in many different ways. And no matter how justifiable or unjustifiable, constructive or destructive they are, at the end of the day, if that relationship is lost, then we are lost. We lose out. Because what is required at the end of this life journey is that we join our Heavenly Father in the kingdom prepared for us. And if there is anything along that way that stops that, then we've lost the plot. We've lost direction. We've lost focus. Let us ask God to allow us the wisdom to live a balanced life, where we can always see what is righteous and faithful and constructive, where we can always judge if we're straying, whether for things that are worthwhile or not worthwhile, where we can always keep our eyes fixed very firmly on Him, not on the flickering lights of the world, but on the real light of the world and real light of salvation, so that we always have time for Him, that we always grow in and with Him, that in time, that we all may share in the glory of the kingdom prepared for us and the everlasting relationship of children living with their Father in the perfect kingdom. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Take a moment, please, just to absorb that. Just put your heads down for a minute, think about what you heard, and try to focus on one or two points there. Thank you for listening. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Okay, now guys, we're going to have breakout groups with the bishops. We're going to have groups yellow, silver, purple, and green. Go to the room over here with Amba Yusuf. And hold on.